Iran has a new leader. Mojtaba Khamenei is the son of the late Supreme Leader Ali Khamenei, who was killed in an Israeli strike at the start of this war. The Islamic Republic's new ruler is known as a hardliner, someone who's close to Iran's Revolutionary Guard Corps. Scott Peterson explains the political dynamics behind the choice. Beyond the conflict in the Middle East, Balendra Shah, the Gen Z rapper-turned-politician who served as the mayor of Kathmandu, now looks set to become the next prime minister in Nepal. The results were still being counted, but Balin, as Mr. Shah is known, seems to have pulled off a historic win in last Thursday's election. Akash Hassan probes the challenge that he faces in Nepal. It's Tuesday, March 10th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning. I'm Matthew Bell. First, news briefs from our writers around the world. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs or on the Christian Science Monitor smartphone app. Democratic lawmakers are calling for an investigation into a strike on a girls' school in Iran. The February 28th strike reportedly killed about 170 people, most of them children. The push for an investigation comes after a new video suggests that the school was hit by a Tomahawk missile. This is a U.S.-made weapon that Israel and Iran do not possess. The Pentagon must provide clear answers about the incident, six lawmakers said in a joint statement. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth says the incident is being investigated. Signs of a return to civil war in South Sudan are growing louder. Civilians and humanitarian workers fled from the eastern town of Akobo over the weekend. That's after the country's armed forces ordered the evacuation in advance of a planned assault on the area. Akobo is one of the last strongholds of insurgents linked to the suspended Vice President Riek Machar. This attack is part of a wider breakdown of the 2018 peace agreement between Mr. Machar and President Salva Kiir that ended a five-year civil war. And Uber is adding a feature that lets female riders and drivers connect with each other. The option is now available across the United States, and it's meant to improve safety and comfort on the platform. It lets women riders request female drivers. Also, women drivers can choose to serve female passengers. The rollout comes as the company faces a class action lawsuit from drivers who argue that the policy discriminates against men. Rival ride-hailing company Lyft is facing a similar lawsuit over its own women-only matching feature. Now, a rundown through today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com or check out our new app for the latest news. Choosing continuity amid war, Iran named Mojtaba Khamenei to succeed his father, despite President Donald Trump's criticism and Israel's threats. He has a hardliner's pedigree, but will his tenure be confrontational or aimed at broadening internal support for the regime? Scott Peterson reports from London for The Monitor. Oil prices spiked to near $120 a barrel Monday before retreating to below $100. For the global economy, the challenge of the Iran conflict is not only surging energy costs, but also market volatility, fueled by uncertain outcomes. Laurent Belsey reports for The Monitor. President Donald Trump has urged Iranians to take over the country once the bombing stops, but among Iranians who live abroad, the U.S.-Israel war is surfacing nuanced and differing visions on what kind of government it should have. Scott Baldoff reports for The Monitor. The 17 candidates competing in Tuesday's special election for Georgia's 14th congressional district run the gamut, from a trash hauler to a hot dog slinger. The large field reflects a somewhat splintered Republican coalition. as former Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene keeps lobbing a steady stream of criticism against her one-time ally, President Donald Trump. Patrick Johnson reports for The Monitor. Once dismissed as a political novice, Bilendra Shah is on track to become Nepal's next prime minister. His bold leadership style has helped mobilize young voters, but could be a challenge when it comes to governing a nation. Contributor Akash Hassan reports from Kathmandu, Nepal, for The Monitor. Now a commentary from The Monitor's editorial board. It's running with the headline, Nepal Climbs Its Everest of Honesty. And here it is in full. In the thin Himalayan mountain air of Nepal, the unambiguous results of the March 5th national elections are breathing new vitality into hopes for clean and effective governance in one of the world's least developed nations. The relatively new Rashtriya Swatantra Party, or RSP, has so far won about 74% of the 165 directly elected seats in the legislature. Its sweeping success positions Bilendra Shah, the capital city's youthful anti-establishment mayor and ex-rap star, to become prime minister. Nepal is the third South Asian country in recent years, after Sri Lanka and Bangladesh, to demand both democratic and generational change in political systems characterized by entrenched leadership, nepotism, and inefficiency. In all three nations, youth-led street protests resoundingly called for honesty and accountability and ousted longtime political leaders, including, last September, Nepal's four-term prime minister, K.P. Sharma Ali. Until the RSP came along, the same major parties had dominated politics for nearly three decades. "People want change very badly," as one political activist told Monitor contributor Akash Hassan, "but transforming the system will be much harder than winning an election," he noted. An engineer by training, Mr. Shah has often indicated, largely through social media, that he wants to overhaul, if not overturn, the system. As a teenage rapper, his songs such as Saduk Baluk, Street Child, and Bully Don, Sacrifice, called out corruption, pervasive poverty, and lack of services in this landlocked nation sandwiched between India and China. The country ranks in the bottom 25% of the United Nations Human Development Index, and more than 10% of its nearly 30 million people have sought employment in foreign countries. Last month, Mr. Shah's party issued a citizen contract tying itself to a 100 days, 100 works list of rapid actions to be taken on assuming office. This binding pact, noted the Nepal news portal, differs from typical election manifestos that lack robust ways to ensure compliance or continuation. The contract, the outlet said, outlines public updates and progress assessments, putting a spotlight on openness and verifiable accomplishments. Even as some critics are concerned about Mr. Shah's go-it-alone style, his direct approach and focus on transparency, along with the relatively peaceful election process, inspire hope among many young Nepalis that deeper change is possible. "I would love to be remembered as an honest guy rather than a musician, an engineer, or a mayor," Mr. Shah said in an online interview in 2024. "There is huge potential in our country," youth activist Eugen Rajbandari told The Monitor just before last week's vote. "Our only real hope is democracy in the true sense." Stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com or on our app. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how, as we dig into science and health with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy, biblical teachings become clearer and we find healing. Find that full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Ian Case, Mackenzie Farkas, and Victoria Hoffman. I'm Matthew Bell. Thanks. Have a lovely day.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, United States of America. Copyright 2026.